All right, so this morning, gonna have to talk fast, but I'm gonna tell. That's true, yeah. I'll go late, it's fine. Fair enough. You know, another hour is good. I'm basically just gonna sort of tell a personal story and then like a Bible story, and then at the end, give some principles. And just, I want you to be mindful of a few things, like to be looking for how God speaks and God's voice and God's Father heart as I tell those. So those are just some themes that I hope come through. So I'll just pray and then we'll get started. Thank you, God, just for who you are, for just all that you're doing. We love your presence. This morning, Father, we just ask that you'd quiet the voice of the enemy in Jesus' name. We just say he has no place here. We just ask that you'd quiet our own thoughts and our own hearts so that we can just hear and receive from you. I just want to acknowledge, God, that without you, we can't do these lives. We can't do church without you. Or we can, but it's pointless if you're not in it. So we just want to acknowledge you in that. I just thank you in advance, God, for how you're going to move and how you're going to speak. Just don't let me or anything else here get in the way of hearing your voice and just receiving the heart change you want to bring. We just declare that you're good, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So 3 years ago, I think pretty much most all of you know, I went to a one-year Bible school in Corvallis called Cornerstone School of Ministry. And I guess I should back up a little. I want to talk about how I ended up going to that school. The year before, I was going to Lymbeton Community College for physical therapy, well, sport and exercise science, on track to go to physical therapy. And at first, I was excited about it, and then sort of just as the year went on, I sort of maybe realized, I don't know if I really want to do physical therapy that much. I don't know. And then on top of that, it's like 8 years of schooling. It's extremely competitive. You have to get like perfect grades, all these intern hours. It's very expensive. And all that was sort of just accumulating throughout the year. And throughout that whole year, I would say that just started sort of building in me, and I sort of felt this emptiness and worthlessness to my life. And I grew up going to church my whole life. I've come to this church, you know, as most of you know. And I never like ran away from God or turned away from God, but that year of my life, I was living more for myself, I would say, than any other year of my life. And you know, I was just going to college, wanted to have fun, going to school. I went to some parties. I drank some alcohol. Sorry, mom and dad. But, you know, it happened. And I was just really, I just wanted to have fun, you know, as a kid. I always had, like, in my mind, like, maybe later I'll look into God, Christianity, the Bible, see what that's all about. And, but, you know, right now it's whatever. But sort of as that year went on, just more and more, I just felt like, I was like, what am I doing? Like, nothing I'm doing right now has purpose, really. It's all just vanity, you know, as the Bible would put it. And about three quarters of the way through the year, third term, spring term, coming up on summer, this all sort of just started really hitting me. And one morning, I was on the way to, like, it was like 8 a.m. or something. I was driving to Albany, to Lymbeton, and all this sort of just hit me. And looking back, I know it was the Holy Spirit convicting me and just speaking to me and moving in my life, praise God. But I like broke down on my drive there, and I was just like, what am I doing with my life? There has to be something more. There had to be something better. And like, there has to be more purpose to life. I was like, I was growing a hunger for truth was being grown inside of me. And so the end of that year, beginning of that summer, me and a few of my friends started meeting and going over this book called Jesus is Greater Than Religion. And at the end of each chapter, there's like questions. So it's great to discuss in a group setting. And that book sort of just started showing me who Jesus is and that it's all about relationship with him. And about halfway through the summer, probably, it was coming close to like time to re-register for the next year of school. And I was like, man, I really did not want to go back to Limbetton. That place is nothing for me, it felt like. And my friend Matt, who used to go here, is now in Hawaii, brought this pamphlet of School of Ministry at Calvary Chapel in Corvallis and was like, hey, I've been thinking of going to this. And so I was like, that looks pretty cool. And so I started checking it out. I read the pamphlet. And the more I thought about it and like prayed about it a little, I felt like I was like, I need to go to this school. So I ended up going to this school. And like I said, growing up, I came to church and stuff, but I never read the Bible. I never studied the Bible. I didn't have any sort of relationship with God. I didn't really understand the Trinity or anything. And then I came into the school, and there was a lot of kids. Really, everyone in this class was very gifted and like passionate and courageous and walked out in their gifts. And that was all sort of new to me. I hadn't ever really experienced that. And one of the gifts that a lot of people had and operated in was the gift of prophecy. And I'm not going to teach on spiritual gifts today, but I'll talk about that a little bit for those of you who may not be as familiar. In the Bible, you know, spiritual gifts are listed in Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians, and there's more in-depth what they are. But the gift of prophecy, the simplest way I could put it really, is just that God speaks to someone on behalf of another person or a group of people. Like, God could speak to me a word of encouragement for Dave, or a word that I feel is for the whole church, you know, whatever. And that's not like what I'm most gifted in. You know, I believe that anyone can operate in any spiritual gift at any time because they're all given by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we all have. But much like in normal life, in the spiritual life, we all have strengths and weaknesses. So that's not one of the things that I operate in the most. But there were a lot of people that were. And sort of over, as the year went, like progressed, this kept happening a lot. And I didn't experience that. And I sort of started to feel like, I was like, why don't I hear God's voice? These people hear God's voice, but why am I not hearing God's voice? And, you know, meanwhile, I was like reading the Bible, getting all this cool revelation, being like, whoa, this says this. And I'd be like, God, why aren't you talking to me? But the whole time, I mean, he was speaking to me like crazy through the Bible, through teachers. Other people were giving me, like, gave me prophetic words and stuff. And he was talking to me like crazy, but I just didn't really recognize it at all. So as the year went on, I was like sort of frustrated a little bit in a lot of ways. And because I didn't recognize that God was pursuing me, was speaking to me just in different ways. But there was one day in class, well, actually, honestly, I don't remember if it was in class or just one of my classmates said it or just the thought I had, but this question came up and it was basically Jesus saying, or God saying, like, isn't Jesus enough? Isn't the fact that I sent Jesus to die for you enough? Like, if you never experienced me, if you never felt me, if you never got a word from me, wouldn't that fact alone be enough? And like, that's a great question. And some days I was fired up and could probably be like, yeah, that's all I need. I don't need anything. And there was other days where maybe I was like, I don't know. I kind of want to know you care about me, God, you know, just that's the realness of it. But that's how I felt. I mean, ultimately the answer to that question is yes. Everything else is just bonus. But since we have such a good, loving Father, he wants to give us the bonus. He gives every good and perfect gift. So from that question sort of just like arose in me like a revelation just that, you know, I need to be more thankful for what I already have. I realized that I'd grown sort of hard-hearted or complacent, or I'd been comparing myself. I was ungrateful. And as a result of that, I like felt challenged to just thank God every day. And so I would just go through my days literally thanking him for everything, for my car, for my roommates at the time, the apartment I had, for my family, my friends, the school, for my job, just throughout the day, all day, even days I didn't feel like it. And there were days where I definitely didn't feel like it. I made being grateful sort of like a discipline. And not that we should be legalistic about that or anything, but what it did is it started to shape my heart and really grow in me a genuine gratefulness for God. And, you know, out of that, I think just the result of being grateful is just joy. And I experience a lot more joy in my life, just in every aspect, at work, at school, whatever. And I mean, I'm sure other people noticed. I definitely noticed it personally. And I also think that's where God started growing in me a heart of worship. Like as Dave said, he sees that in me, you may recognize that. I kind of enjoy worshiping. I started worship nights. Something that I'm pretty passionate about. So I think that's kind of part of where God started shaping that in me. Speaking of joy, though, like as Christians, we should be so joyful all the time. Like, do you ever have days? Sometimes I have days where like the miracle of life just hits me. Like we're just on this rock that's like orbiting just perfectly to sustain our lives. And we're created and there's like trees that give off oxygen and we breathe that in and like, then because we breathe that in, it makes our lungs and heart work and blood goes to our brain and we can see and hear and smell and just like be alive. And then if that's not enough, Jesus came and died for us so we can have eternal life, you know. And if that's not enough, God loves each of us and wants a relationship with each of us and has a plan and a will for each of our lives. So like, why aren't we more joyful? Why do we let, when that's our perspective, that's how we look at life. All the other things sort of just don't seem as big. And I mean, I'm not trying to downplay, hard stuff happens, but God's bigger than any hard thing that could happen. So, yeah. So if we look back just at that story so far, there was God's voice through others. He spoke to me through prophetic words. He spoke to me through the Bible a lot. Spoke to me through teaching. There's teachers in the school. And he spoke to me through an inner voice or inner conviction, even just back in my freshman year at Lynn Benton, growing that desire for truth and something more. That was him speaking to me and shaping me. And now I just want to read a Bible story that I think has some parallels. And we will bring those out. And so if you want to go to the next slide, it's Luke chapter 15. Most all of you are probably very familiar with the story. I'm sort of just going to tell it, paraphrase, but you can read along, keep track of where we are. So there was a man who had two sons, and the younger son, he came to his father and was like, "Dad, I want all my inheritance. I want all the money, all the everything, all the belongings. I want it. Give it to me." So the father's like, "All right, here's your inheritance." And this son just went out and started spending it and wasting it on who knows what. You can connect the dots there for yourself, whatever it may have been. And it says he wasted all of his possessions. And then at the same time, there was a famine throughout the land and he was broke and there was a famine and he ended up getting a job or a guy feeding pigs, because that's the only job he could get. And one day he was feeding them, and he had settled so much and given up so much and compromised so much that he became hungry for the pig's food. That looked appetizing to him. And then suddenly he had this revelation. He's like, "Wait, in my father's house, even the servants have bread to eat. They even have extra bread to eat, you know?" So he's like, "All right. Maybe if I come up with a good apology, write down a good little speech, I can come back to my dad. Maybe he'll let me like be a servant. I'm not worthy to be his son." You know, he says, what he wrote down is, "I've sinned against my father and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be your son." And so he's like, "All right, I'll go try this. We'll see what happens." So he turns back to his father, turns down his road, and starts walking down that road. Like the song said, the father came running like down the prodigal road. And just as all it took was the son to turn back, and the father just came running to him and met him at the road. And he wrapped him up and grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him. And then the way I like to picture this is kind of like, so the greets him, you know, welcomes. He's like, son, I'm so happy you're back. Like, this is amazing. You were dead. You're alive. And then the son's like trying to give his little speech, like, father, I'm not worthy, like, to be. And the father's like, hey, get the robe. Bring the jewels. Put the necklace. What do you? Kill the fatted calf. We're gonna have a party. Like, let's go. And the son's like, father, I'm not worthy. Like, the dad's just like, shut up. Come here. Like, we're gonna have a party. And you know, it's funny, but I think something that, you know, if you're trying to give like a lesson on like apologies and forgiveness and reconciliation, this isn't that good of a picture of, like, if you're trying to teach your kids, like, you need to say you're sorry, you need to forgive the other one. This just bypasses all of that. The father's just like, come on, like, I forgive you. And I think something that we fail to recognize, or we sort of maybe subconsciously think, is that God is intimidated or afraid of our sin in some way or another. That, like, maybe he's sitting up there in heaven and he sees Dave's sin, whatever it may be, or mess up, and he's up there, he's like, Dave did what? Like, I don't know, do we have grace for that, guys? I don't know if we can cover that. That's not how God is at all. We cannot out sin, we cannot out mess up God's grace. He has grace upon grace. His grace is sufficient. So I think that's something we need to realize. So, back to the story. The father says, bring him the sandals, the robe, the ring. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to party. And so now the older son, he's out in the field doing field things, whatever. And he comes in, sees the party, and he's like, what's going on? And a servant comes and talks to him, and he says, he asks the servant, what's happening? And the servant says, oh, your younger brother is back, and because, you know, we've received him safely and he's alive, your father killed the fattened calf for him. And the older brother then becomes angry. He's like, what? Why would he do that? And he refuses to go into the party. So then the father comes out and talks to the older son. He's like, what's up, son? Why are you so angry? And the older son is like, dad, I don't understand. I've been here this whole time. My younger brother is an idiot. He went and wasted everything. I have never transgressed you. I've never left. And you don't even give me as much as a goat party, and you're giving him a fattened calf party. Like, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense to me. What is that about? And the no goat party. He doesn't even get a goat party. Then the father, I feel like the father would probably just be like, I picture it, him just being kind of confused, like, son, what are you talking about? Like, you've been here this whole time. You have access to all that I have. You've never left it. I've clothed you. I've provided for you. So why, we should just be happy that your brother's back. We should just rejoice in that. And I feel like, you know, oftentimes that's how we are. I think that's kind of how I became. I was sort of frustrated during my year of schooling. I felt like I wasn't getting what other people had, and that, you know, I became jealous and frustrated. And maybe you feel like that sometimes. Maybe coming to church, you sort of feel stale or complacent, or I don't know. Some of you have been coming here a long time, you know, 30, 80, 90 years, whatever. but, you know, it's just important to look around and see how good our Father is and be continually grateful for who he is. And, you know, I think, like I had up there earlier, one way to sort of suppress your ability to hear God's voice and experience him is complacency and comparison. Those two things will just, as soon as you stop being grateful, as soon as you look down, you get complacent, you start comparing to others, that's when just jealousy will grow in you, pride will grow in you, all these other things. So conversely to that, hunger and humility is how we set ourselves up to really know God and to hear from him. If we are humbly seeking him, declaring that he is our everything, he is what we need, he'll meet us in that. the alignment of our heart is important for hearing God's voice. And another thing is just that your relationship with God has nothing to do with anyone else. So if you're looking at others and comparing that to your relationship to God, that doesn't make sense, because your relationship with God is your relationship with God. And if God wanted two Daves, he would have made two Daves, or two Bobs, he would have made two Bobs, whatever. It's about you and him. And God speaks relationally. It's different for every person. He relates to each person differently. And I feel like this topic sometimes people get sort of intimidated by hearing God's voice or relationship with God. We get confused. I feel like we sometimes make it more complicated than it really is. If we think about sort of just relationships in general, like with other people, with our best friends or spouse or children or siblings, whatever, someone you're really close with, if you just actually think about that relationship, you probably hang out with them in person, go do fun stuff, and then when you're not together, maybe you talk on the phone sometimes, maybe you text, send each other stuff on Facebook, whatever. You communicate with them and you include them in your life. And then we come to God and we're like, I don't know how to have a relationship with God. But, you know, we're created in his image. He's a living being. So it's the same. I mean, it's different a little to an extent, but we just communicate with him. We speak to him. We include him in our lives. We invite him in. You know, it's just a relationship. That's what it's about. And so, if you go to the next slide, there you go. So I just want to give now, I have some ways God speaks and some sort of principles for hearing his voice. I just want to preface this by saying we can't limit God to anything. We can't put him in a box in any way or another. But if you don't know where to start, these are a good place to start and to sort of just better equip us. If we know the ways God speaks and some ways to hear him when he does speak, we'll be better at recognizing it. So the first ones are how God speaks. If you want to take some notes, you can. And I'm not going to go into each of these verses and everything because that would take way too long. But one of the main ways I believe that God speaks is through his word. Imagine that, his word, the words speak. And that's, I think, in my life, one of the main ways he's spoken to me, just through the Bible, through reading the Bible, and just truth through the word. Through others, like I said, the gift of prophecy, or whatever it may be, encouragement, word of wisdom, he wants to use us for each other and to love us. He loves on us through each other. And audibly, sometimes, people have audibly heard his voice in the Bible, and others, I've never audibly heard his voice, but I've heard of those who have. So that's another way. Through our thoughts or our inner voice, that's another way he speaks. I didn't come up with all these. These are like things I've been taught through the school and through doing YWAM and other places. But through animals, he speaks through a donkey. It's pretty cool. Dreams and visions. You know, the Bible says men will dream dreams and young men will have visions, or maybe it's the other way, I don't remember. But through an inner peace, God's peace is a way of him speaking. Just if you are experiencing peace, that's him maybe communicating that, hey, you're doing the right thing, you're walking in my will. Through silence, if he's not talking, that's a way of communicating. I mean, if you think of your relationships, maybe it's a little different. If your spouse isn't talking to you, that's probably because they're angry or something. This is probably more like he wants to teach you something, so ask him why. And so if you go to the next slide, these are sort of just like some principles for if you don't know where to start when you come before God and you want to talk to him. These are taken straight from Joy Dawson, her principles for intercessory prayer, and it was just hearing listening to God and then praying what he's put on your heart. So it's all about hearing his voice. So we praise God for who he is. We just declare he's good and just that he is holy and he is worthy. We repent of any known sin. Notice I say known sin because you don't got to like sit there and be like, all right, I need to repent of every sin ever. 3 years ago, cut a guy off in traffic. That was wrong. Like, you don't have to dig and dig. Like, if there's anything going on in your life that you know may be sin, obviously, repent of that. And then you acknowledge that you can't really pray or hear him without the empowerment of his spirit. We need him to hear him. It's kind of funny how that works. Wrap your human brain around that one. Deal with the enemy. Silence his voice. Cast him out. Declare he has no place in your mind. And quiet your own thoughts and your own voice. Another thing I meant to mention, at any time we could be hearing four voices. Those voices are others' voices, our own voices, the voice of the enemy, and the voice of God. So if we really want to hear God and sort through all of that coming into our mind, we have to silence the other voices and then invite God to speak. Thank him in advance. Praise him and thank him in advance for how he's going to speak. And then the last one, which is the most important step to hearing, is listen. And like I said, this is not like rigid. You don't have to do this. But if you want a place to start to try to hear God's voice, this is a good place to jump off. And so the next slide. Then how do we know if it's him? So this is where it's important to really know the word, to read the Bible, to have discipline, and to maybe you're reading the Bible and it's dry, but you're still getting the information. And then when God speaks, you'll then have the context and the truth to understand and recognize if it's really God. So how to know if it's God? Does it align with who God is? And, well, we learn who he is by reading the Bible. There you go, red lettering, yeah. And does it align with Scripture? Obviously. Does it glorify Christ? If what you think you heard from God doesn't glorify God, it's probably not from God. Does it bear witness with other believers and leaders? Does it bear witness with your own spirit? Does it seem right or like truth? Do others affirm that? Does it put a question in your mind? If what he says confuses you and causes dissension and confusion in your life, that's probably not God. I don't think he tries to confuse us. He doesn't, like I said, it's simple. It's a relationship. He doesn't want it to be hard. He wants to speak to us. Something that during my DTS, a lot of the teachers said over and over is that love longs to communicate with us. And that's something that stuck with me because God is love and he longs to communicate with each of us. So does it bind you up or set you free? The truth sets you free. So if it binds you up, it's probably not God. And you know, it's okay. It's okay to fail. We'll mishear him. We'll mess up. It's all right. I was reminded of a picture that actually Joe sort of brought up the other week that many preachers have. I've heard a few different preachers give it, but it's a picture of just a baby learning to walk. And a lot of you have kids and have had babies learn to walk. And, you know, they get up, take a couple steps maybe, then fall down. And then maybe get back up, take a few more steps and fall down. And how do you respond to the baby when it does that? When the baby gets up, takes a few steps and falls, are you like, you stupid baby, why are you even trying to walk? Stay down there. You don't deserve to walk. You're not good enough. If you did, don't raise your hand. You're a criminal. That's child abuse. But I feel like sometimes that's how we think God like looks at us when we try to do things in this kingdom or step out in faith or do whatever. We think that if we mess up, like he's going to be mad and like hate us, but that's not the case. I'm guessing probably how you were is like, honey, did you come here? The baby just took two steps. Like, get back up. Come on. I'm right here with you. Keep walking. Come on, take another step. Oh, you fell? That's okay. I'll help you up. I'm right here. And I think that's just how God is. Party time. Exactly. It's okay to fail. The other week I was listening to the sermon and a pastor said, it's okay to fail. God thinks you're cute. It's fine. I just thought that was funny. I like that. And another thing he said that one person on his like pastoral team always says to him before he goes out is drive fast and take chances. And I like that too, because I think that we should, in Christian life, we shouldn't just be complacent. We shouldn't just sit around. We should take chances. So we go to the next slide. So, how would your life look if you asked God for His will for you each day and for the big picture of your life? Would it look the same? Would it look different? Would it look like you waking up and going to work or school and then coming home and watching TV and going to sleep? I don't know. I'm not God. I can't answer that. But I would bet probably not. Like, if we really each day took the time to just ask God and say, what do you want from me today? What do you want in my life? How do you want to use me to love others? Even if you're just going to work and going home, I think in that He'll use you to do awesome things. It'll be an adventure. He'll say, hey, why don't you tell that cashier that God loves him? Or why don't you, you know, go to that guy and tell him that, or ask him if him and his brother have a rough relationship and say, I felt like God said He wanted you and your brother to have reconciliation. Maybe the kid's a single child. I don't know. Maybe you'll be wrong, but that's okay. How would your life look differently? I think that each day our lives are meant to be somewhat of an adventure. And that's why, you know, that's why adventure, that's why movies and stories appeal to us so much, because they're full of adventure and action, movement, things happening. And I think we're designed the same way. We're designed to long for that. In my own life, when I just look back at the last three-ish years of my life that I've been trying to follow God, just the things I've experienced and done. Like, I went to 1 year Bible school. I met some amazing people. I youth pastored. I never thought that would be a thing. I now lead worship and sing. I never sang in front of someone until a year ago. Like, literally, that's like fresh for me still. I never thought I could sing. I never knew I could. I've gone to multiple different countries and done missions, and I never really thought I'd be a missionary, and now He's actually leading me back. I just got accepted, Dave alluded to this earlier, to do another school through YWAM in the summer. And so I'll be going on another mission trip. Yeah. So if you want to hear more about that, you can ask me later. More details will be to come, and I'll need your guys' prayer and support. But just if I look at my life, I've already done a lot of things that are crazy and adventurous that I never thought I would do. And it's all just because I've been obedient to God and just listened to Him. Thank you. Yeah. But He wants that for all of us. And it's never too early or too late to go on an adventure with God. And another thing, I think learning to hear God's voice is really the most important skill you could learn in life. It pertains to everything. Whether you're a pastor, you work at a grocery store, you're a teacher, you're in business, whatever it is, God can use you and speak to you in that field. Maybe something that someone went to school for 8 years, He can tell you in a few seconds and give you understanding of, or use you in that field. It pertains to everything. Hearing His voice helps you know how to act with family, with friends, how to deal with your money, just how to live your life all around with everything. So I want to give you guys some little homework before we end. And it's just this. I just want you to ask God what He thinks of you. And then get something to write with and just listen for 60 seconds and just write down whatever it is. The first impression, just write it down. And, you know, we can try to logic away, say, oh, that was just, I thought of that, you know, whatever. But why would we want to logic away God? If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably God. He thinks the best of you. And so that's what I want you to do. And if you go to the last slide. Yeah, just get alone with God. It's the most important thing you will ever do. And I just encourage you not to wait, not to let another day go by feeling empty or worthless or complacent or stale. Just press in to the love of God. He's our Father, and He wants to communicate with us. Love longs to communicate with you. I think that's where I'll end. I'll just close in prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, God, we just thank you that you are such a loving and good Father. That you want to give us the bonus, that you want to have relationship with us on top of sending your Son to save us. We're so unworthy to do this life with you, but we are so grateful that we get to. Holy Spirit, just speak to us today. I just ask that your love would fill us, that you'd pour out just anointing and gifts in Jesus' name, and just that passion would be stirred up for you. Let us hear your voice, Father. We just thank you again for just who you are. Thank you just in advance for all you're going to do in and through my life and in and through all these people's lives. You know that it'll be good. We thank you that our behavior and our circumstance doesn't change your goodness, the fact that you are good. Praise you, God. So thank you. We just ask for your blessing for the rest of this day and just this week and days to come. Just ask for your favor and voice and presence to be with each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.